BSR is born, and WBRU in the new millennium, 1997 through 2006.
Please do not turn off your radio, but turn up the volume on your receiver as high as it can go so that you can make the sound we broadcast as loud as possible.
Radio!
We had made the deal a month before, but we knew we needed a month or so to get everybody together, to sort of re-recruit, re-establish. We had a couple of weeks of practice. It was really free-form radio. People could do whatever they wanted. And then starting in 97, we gave them some limitations, you know, and we became more organized, but people still programmed their own show. It just became, you know, we just became a little bit more formalized. You did the same show every week. It had a name now. It hopefully had a theme. We had, you know, sports scheduled. We had those non-music shows scheduled and consistent. And we had, you know, more formal infrastructure. And that really grew BSR formally to, we had to increase our leadership size. And that was really when a lot of people took on a tremendous amount of responsibility and really stepped up.
You know, when I first moved here, I came, you know, being in the Bay Area, like, in California, there's a ton of amazing radio there. And I just kind of took it for granted growing up there. But when I moved here, I was just horrified. Rhode Island seems like a black hole for radio to me.
Before coming to Brown, Paul McCarthy worked at KALX, the UC Berkeley station.
I did take a tour of BRU on the first orientation week and was really just confused about everything. I was like, you don't choose what music you play here, and you don't play like all this wide variety of stuff that's out there. What's going on? I was just like, I didn't understand it really. And then I was kind of like, oh, well, guess I'm not doing that.
BSR did not aim to reinvent the wheel, but to bring a type of underground radio already well established in other parts of the country to Rhode Island. Oppenheim volunteered one summer at listener-supported WFMU in East Orange, New Jersey.
He described that station to me, and I'd never heard of it or been there, but he described it as his model where, you know, you could have a station with really wild programming, with really, like, creative, groundbreaking stuff, avant-garde stuff, but still be a really tight business and still run a really professional operation. Those two things did not need to be separate. And I don't think there was ever a consensus at BSR or outside of BSR, you know, looking at BSR, that was what was the goal of BSR. But I know for a few of us, that was always the goal. From the beginning, I think Nick Noe and Dan Oppenheim had done a good job of trying to really emphasize this features programming, as they called it, which was sort of public affairs and news and arts and culture and sort of talk or just basically non-music programming of some sort.
Even before WBRU AM became BSR, features had been a priority.
In my mind, what was going to be great about BSR, what I think is the opportunity to do what you would think of as non-traditional radio, right? And we had awesome shows. I mean, really great shows. I mean, we had a drama called, I think, 312 Barnaby Street. We also had a talk show where we interviewed a professor every week. Well, I think we had a student who did a call-in show with relationship advice. And that, because I knew that creating that kind of programming takes a lot more time and effort, and that if we didn't, and it's easy to fill an hour with a good DJ and some good music, it's hard to fill an hour with a different interesting program. You know, that we had a lot of different interesting experiments, some successful, some not so, but we had a tremendous amount of interest in those shows. And I think we've subsequently, one of the great things about BSR is how amazing the non-music feature programming we've been able to generate. And it speaks to, you know, why BSR, why BRUAM needed to be reborn.
In 2000, BSR was still broadcasting on leased time from 88.1 FM, and they were still struggling to find a long-term solution to the problem of a broadcast license. There was nothing available in Rhode Island for less than $1 million. The FCC opened a filing window for low-power FM licenses, and BSR applied for the one available license in Providence, 96.5, along with 14 other organizations. As of February 2007, the application is still unresolved, awaiting the decision from the FCC. Meanwhile, back at WBRU, competitors kept trying to challenge the station. They didn't have much luck. In 1999, The Edge signed off without much warning.
I think a big part of the reason it didn't take hold is because people were used to listening to BRU. The fact that you've just been around for 30 years, and at the end of the day, that was not a particularly well-programmed radio station or particularly in tune with Rhode Island. It's funny because they had been such a threat, but then had kind of been in such a decline that it was also almost anticlimactic when they went away.
It forced a lot of us to confront the inherent tension of having an organization that has essentially two bottom lines, a social mission and a profit-driven mission. So, I mean, yeah, The Edge kind of came and went, but it definitely made an impression on all of us who were at the station at the time.
Even though The Edge came and went, the board of directors was concerned about BRU's financial future. In the summer of 1999, BRU general manager Mike Tassoni was going about his day when he got a call from board president David Malm. Malm and the board of directors proposed that BRU sell its sales force to Capstar, a company that would later become Clear Channel.
The board took a look at the radio industry strategically, and what was becoming very clear was the industry was consolidating. And the board was very, very concerned that BRU was going to be an orphan out there and unable to compete.
Capstar had purchased 94.1 HJY. Since both stations shared the rock market, Capstar proposed that BRU and HJY work jointly by sharing a sales force. In exchange, BRU would be granted a revenue stream of about $2 million, regardless of the station's performance.
The board looked at this, and we saw a lot of advantages. We said, geez, wait a minute, you know, the sales staff is entirely professional. So if we sort of get rid of it, we're not harming the educational workshop at all. And we actually, you know, would be able to eliminate a lot of costs.
The students were dead set against the agreement. Tassoni called a station membership meeting where BRU students threatened a walkout.
What I remember sort of being the key concern was it was felt as if the board sort of pushed it down on the students. And
This would have removed the entire sales staff.
Craig Healy.
It provided no requirement for any sort of ratings whatsoever, so it removed any incentive of the students to succeed. They could have changed format to Lithuanian funeral marches and still had their stipend every year from Capstar. Every student and every professional in the station was against it.
Even if there was friction between the students and the board of directors, there was a general understanding that the board was looking out for the station's best interests.
I do believe that the board was not, you know, trying to act maliciously. I think their goal was to preserve you know, sort of the sanctity and the structure of the, you know, quote-unquote educational workshop in sort of a clouded environment where there were perceived threats from satellite radio, perceived threats from, you know, HD radio, internet radio, and I think the goal to sort of see BRU as a viable institution, you know, years down the road.
Just 1 year later, another competitor sprouted up in the market. 103.7 FNX was an offshoot of a Boston alternative rock station.
Alternative music took a very, very hard turn sonically. Really, they were the third station playing Korn in Boston, and it was Korn with a lot of static. But it actually worked really well in Providence. There was a hole for a hard rock station, because at the time, BRU was still fairly poppy.
In 2003, WBRU hired Ressler as program director. His experience in the music industry, and at other stations, made him a particularly valuable professional.
You ever seen a movie or a TV show where there's a character who sees a ghost or is hallucinating or sees something that nobody else sees? And it's really there, like it's really having an impact. And he's kind of turning around to everybody going, wait a minute, you don't see this thing? That's what it's like to be a professional here, particularly to be the program director, because you've got the music industry. But the program director is really the only guy that sees it. The music director to an extent, but that's a student and they don't have a lot of experience and don't fully comprehend it. I viewed it very much like a coach And that was a lot of what I did, was air checking and just bring the standard practices of other radio stations to the station. What's your name?
Corey.
Corey, where are you calling from?
Milford, Mass.
Corey, I want you to talk to a friend of mine, okay? I want to introduce you.
Okay.
This is Herbie the Mime. Say hi.
Hi. Hello.
He's a nice guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
The Fly is a 95.5 WBRU set here, and I'm told...
We got very aggressive promotionally. We basically did a contest every week, and it was not really about the prize, because often the prize was just CDs or concert tickets or whatever, as much as it was an excuse to associate ourselves with a band. Because if Green Day was the cool band at the moment, or Linkin Park or whoever, we just wanted to say Linkin Park on the air as much as possible. So when you thought of Linkin Park, you thought of WBRU. And so we really sounded like these bands were playing shows specifically for us. And I thought that was one of the kind of smoke and mirrors tricks we used that was kind of best against FNX. So FNX was here for about 8 months, and their overhead must have been too high, or financially it wasn't worth it, but they decided that in Providence they just weren't making enough money. And I'll never forget the day that we found out that they were going away, and we couldn't believe it. We popped a bottle of champagne in the programming office, and we went out to Wes's Rib House and celebrated that night. And once again, we were the dominant force.
Students continue to flock to both WBRU and BSR for different interests. Rhode Island native Shauna Duffy grew up listening to WBRU.
It was one of the only things that I would listen to. One of the main reasons was because of the free concert series. At some point in high school, I discovered WRIU at the University of Rhode Island's college station, and that was when I first started to kind of really get interested in some of the stuff at the low end of the dial. I was kind of all over the place then, listening to RIU and BRU and really being all over the place. Until the day that BRU played Faith by Limp Bizkit. And then I stopped listening to BRU. Get the f*** up!
Before coming to Brown in 1999, Shauna Duffy started listening to BSR.
I think that often I would hear it and not realize what I was listening to. I feel like early BSR DJs were not great at identifying the station. And because I knew there was something all the way to the left of the dial that I liked, but I didn't know what it was. I mean, when I got involved at the station, I didn't really get a lot of sense of localism. There just wasn't a whole lot of focus, except for Inside Out, which was a really phenomenal program that did, you know, focus on Rhode Island.
Paul McCarthy.
The students had gotten together saying, we all really like this program, This American Life, on public radio, and we want to do a show kind of like that, like here in Rhode Island. Let's do it. So that's the reason why I applied for this grant and decided to take time off of school and start this program. And I called it Inside Out, Rhode Island Radio Stories.
It seems like the more I play, the higher I bet. You know, trying to get that big one. It's a different feel from someone who just comes here just to take a chance, from someone who really wants to win. You know?
Right around the time I got involved with BSR, and radio was right around the time I started to get really involved in the Providence music scene. So while I came to the station wanting to do a show, just like a punk show, by the time I finished training and through that first semester, really got the idea of trying to focus on local music, but pretty quickly started bringing local bands into play.
Harris Newman ended up here in Providence, played at AS220. We had Harris come up on Sunday afternoon to the studio here, pre-record a set, play for a little while and hang out and chat with us. Harris Newman on BSR.
Although our local radio signal has a pretty small potential audience, and a pretty small actual audience, the internet just opens it up to everybody.
During one of Shauna's shows, her co-host Scott called in from a concert featuring local bands, giving updates live over the air and in between sets of music.
So while I'm kind of trying to juggle this, the phone rings again, and I assume it's Scott calling back. And it's not Scott. And I was like, oh, sorry, hi. He was just like, this is so awesome. And I was like, oh, you know, and I didn't know where he's from. And I was like, oh, are you going to go down to the show? You know, are you around here? And he's like, oh, no, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I was like, oh, that's too bad. He's like, yeah, I'm in Tasmania. I get off the phone, kind of sitting there, and I'm like, wow, that was so weird. This guy just called me from literally halfway around the world. And then I was kind of like, one of the things that he seemed to really like about it was the fact that we were incorporating this show that was happening in town and playing all these local bands, and he'd never heard of any of them because they're mostly just pretty small bands in Providence, but he was really excited about it and wanted to learn more about music in Providence. And, you know, I was like, oh, that's the point, is this guy in Tasmania can learn about what's going on in this city, and this city is incredible.
In 2005, BSR made it one of its official goals to further interactions between Brown students and the Greater Providence community. It codified its mission statement as Providence Student and Community Radio that serves the curious listener. Off the Beat, BSR's local news program, is an important part of this mission.
And the goal was to create a local news program after our former, like, international and national news program had been basically taken off the air for being terrible. We had this sense of, why would we want to do the same thing as other people, just not as well? We should try to do things that we can do that are different than what other people are doing and that we can do really well. This is the only outlet for this. We're going to cover stories that are not being covered or angles that are not being covered. And we're going to try to interview a lot of different people and incorporate a lot of different people and get out into the community. And I know Offbeat has been winning awards, and it's been really fantastic, and it's because of this concept of localism.
From BSR WELH Providence, 88.1 FM, it's Off the Beat, news and views from throughout Providence. I'm Addie Goss. Tonight on Off the Beat, we'll hear about one family's struggle to overcome homelessness, the local artists who organize an urban festival called Prov Flux, and a North Kingstown mom who is waiting for her son to come home from Iraq.
As at WBRU, BSR programmers are encouraged to downplay connections to the university in hopes of becoming a credible community voice. Paul McCarthy.
At some point we tried to change our identity from Brown Student Radio into BSR and tried to stop using the Brown Student Radio phrase because we wanted to not alienate the non-students within the station, but also the listeners. We are not ashamed of that relationship at all, but we want to stand on our own and be known for the great programming we do. And it's not just for students, and it's not just by students.
After moving to Providence, club DJ Eric Spindler searched the internet for a local radio station that would give him airtime.
I am walking, talking, breathing hip-hop. I'm 100% hip-hop, and for when I tried to get into BRU, for them to turn to me and say, well, you're not a student, was just like, wow, that's a kick in the teeth, you know? I have probably more DJing experience than everybody in the room, but they're not going to let me in the front door. And BSR is different in that way.
Spindler soon got involved with BSR through Flow Radio. The youth radio program started in 2003.
He ended up pretty much being the main person who carried that show. And he really needed more support. And so that's when Block Party got started.
Yo, yo, what's up? It's your
good
boy.
What's going on, Infinite in the house?
Nuncio in the house.
Kiana in the house.
Yeah, representing, you know what I'm saying? What's going on, Rhode Island?
Block Party.
Yeah, Block Party. Hope y'all enjoying the mix that we got going.
Spindler founded the Block Party program in 2006. Every Tuesday night, Block Party members share their skills with the young people involved with Flow Radio. Later in the evening, the older DJs showcase their talent over the air.
BSR request, one word, just give us a shout. We're on the air, man.
Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, it must be true.
In late March of 2006, word leaked on the internet that WBRU had been sold.
95.5 WBRU, my name is Spencer, and I'm sorry, it's with a heavy heart that I just got this information from a staff meeting that was going on downstairs for a while now. I have a memo from our general manager. It says, new management will assume control of 95.5 WBRU effective tomorrow at 5 p.m. Thank you for your cooperation.
The switchover happened on April 1st. Some listeners noticed it was April Fool's, and some didn't.
Seth Ressler was programming director at the time.
There's a format that had been springing up around the country called Jack FM. And there's other formats that are basically the same idea, but they always take like a guy's name usually. And the idea is it's like your iPod on shuffle. So we decided we were going to do Buddy FM, named after Buddy Cianci here in Providence.
And that was Broken Wings, Mr. Mister. My name is Johnny Scream. You're listening to 95.5 WBRU Buddy FM Providence. Got some Milli Vanilli here for you. If you got any requests, call me up 401-272-9555 or 1-866-329-9555. Milli Vanilli. It's Buddy FM.
We had a Jock Donnie, who's the afternoon jock now. He was breaking into the radio station, and he was taking over the radio station again, and he was putting BRU back on the air, and he didn't care about the guys who had set up. And then we had people start to gather, you know, and you started to hear chanting in the background, and then you started to hear thousands of people chanting in the background. And this is all stuff that we faked in the production studio.
They're hauling him off. Somebody's hauling Donnie up. Oh, boy.
You know you want to be friends with Buddy. Buddy FM. Buddy FM. Everybody in the family can enjoy Buddy. Buddy. Fun for the whole family.
And we created this whole storyline where at the end of the day, Rich Lupo, the owner of Lupo's, came in, bought the radio station back, and gave it back. And we flipped back to BRU. And again, never revealed it was April Fool's Day joke. And actually, for weeks afterwards, we got people who called up who thought the whole thing was real.
Dude, I'm so glad you guys are back. If I had to listen to the Village People or Britney Spears one more time, I was going to scream.